Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio, with a message for listeners in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. We pledge to have Issues Etc. podcasts posted daily, no later than 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific. This will allow you to download and listen to the latest Issues Etc. podcast weekdays during your evening commute. Again, if you live in the Mountain or Pacific time zone, download Issues Etc. before you leave work and listen during your drive home.
Have more opportunities for get-togethers around the table, coffee hours at churches. Focus more on the personal and less on, you know, letting tech oligarchs decide who we can speak to, what we can say, and on what terms our relationships will be conducted.
Every day you've been given, you've got 1,440 minutes. Will you invest just 1% of that day in reading the Bible and in prayer? So 14 minutes.
And the reason why we are so earnest to contend for the doctrine, for the truth of the Lord's word, is not because we have some obsession with being right, but because Jesus delivers forgiveness of sins and eternal life in the true word.
When the law is fulfilled, our ability to see the face of God is made manifest because we are cleansed from sin, now fit to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit of God, who reveals the face of God in Jesus Christ.
From the Allen family in Jefferson City, Missouri, creed confessing 3-year-olds love Issues Etc.
I believe in God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and the apostle God and the Lord. Thank you, God, Holy Spirit.
This should not be a controversial idea or statement, but it is nowadays that the optimal situation for raising children is a married father and mother at home with their kids. You say that now, and even from some corners of Christianity, you will get howls of anger sometimes. Well, part of that is because we have accepted as viable and equal alternatives to a married father and mother all kinds of ideas that are not good for children. They're maybe good for adults, I doubt that, but they're certainly what adults want, how they want to live, but it does not consider the welfare of the children first and foremost, be it divorce or single parenthood by choice, or even something like adoption, to say nothing of surrogacy or all the other reproductive technologies out there. It shouldn't be controversial, but it is. And what do all these alternative forms offer by way of support for the rights of children? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to begin a series on the need for a global children's rights movement. Today, we'll talk about the fact that children have rights, that biology matters, and yes, gender matters as well. Katie Faust of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us, will be our guest. A little bit later, Dr. John Bombaro joins us of Luther Academy in Riga, Latvia. We'll talk about rituals surrounding preaching, what happens when they are abandoned, and why we have them in the first place. Then we'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us for the beginning of a series on the need for a global children's rights movement, Katie Faust. She's founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us, and author of a forthcoming book also called Them Before Us. Katie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You say that the battle for children's rights is the battle of our time. Why?
When we talk about children's rights at Them Before Us, we are specifically talking about their right to be known and loved by their mother and father. Most of us are familiar with the right to life battle, which is critical, but there's another children's rights battle on which the success of our nation depends, and that is children's rights in the family. And the reason why it's the greatest battle of our time is because if we cannot get this right, if we cannot defend children's fundamental rights in the family, we will never achieve any of the other goals that we have for our nation. Whether you're talking about my friends on the left who are fighting teen suicide and homelessness and child poverty, or whether you're talking about my friends on the right who want limited government and low taxes, nobody gets what they want unless we can defend children's fundamental rights, because children who are fatherless, who have been denied a right to their father, are overpopulating the demographics of children who are homeless and children who are stuck in poverty and children who are failing academically. We're not going to be able to fix any of those issues unless we can make sure that children's right to their mother and father are defended. And on the other side, it is the formation of strong families where mothers and fathers are united for life, raising their children together, that is going to produce the citizens that will allow us to have a limited government and low taxes. So this is, in my opinion, the greatest battle of our time and one of the few things that can unite the left and the right.
So when we talk about children's rights, take us a little deeper into that. What do we mean by rights?
So we talk in the book about children's natural rights, right? So these are self-evident rights. We know, like I said, we're familiar with the child's right to life. It is the most fundamental right that children have. But children also have a right on this side of the womb as well. And it begins with being known and loved by the two people responsible for your existence. There's a lot of confusion about rights in this world today. Some people think that you have a right to health care or a right to housing or a right to government-funded birth control. But when you're talking about natural rights, you're talking about something that existed pre-government, right? Something that is not there because the government gives it to you, but the government should protect it because it existed before there was even government. So this is a fundamental natural right, and we believe that this right should be enshrined in law, so it's also a widely recognized legal right.
Are children's rights recognized internationally already?
So the most widely ratified treaty in the world is the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. And right after saying that children have a right to not be killed, they talk about the rights of a child to be known by both biological parents and raised by both biological parents whenever possible. Now, the United States has not ratified this treaty, but they're the only ones. So if you go anywhere else in the world, these principles and concepts are already fairly well known and established and linked to laws in every other country that you're going to visit. So this may be a new concept for some Americans, but across the globe, if you're looking at international treaties, or if you're just looking at natural law, or if you're just looking at your own experience, this idea that children long to know, crave, and have a right to both their mother and father will not surprise you.
Why should both Republicans and Democrats care about children's rights?
Yeah, because nobody gets what they want unless we defend this cause. As I talked about before, this is the greatest battle of our time, because if we cannot secure children's individual rights, if we cannot bring justice for the individual child, there will be no social justice. All of these other billions of dollars that we're spending to solve social problems ultimately are not going to succeed, because the children that populate the demographics of children who are struggling in all of these myriad ways that is plaguing our country, the government can't fix that, because the government can't love a child, right? No amount of welfare subsidies, no amount of government-funded daycare is ever going to be able to replace the love of the missing parent. But amazingly, if we can unite the two people to whom children have a natural right, their mother and father, and incentivize and encourage them to raise their child together, it turns out kids are drastically less likely to deal with homelessness or drug abuse or criminality or teen pregnancy. So this is the thing that we have to get right on the left. And like I said before, on the right, this country was made for a moral people, and it's pretty hard to govern unless those people are moral. And the way that we know that people become moral is through these intact family situations. That is where these values of self-restraint and personal responsibility statistically tend to get passed down the best.
Talk about the Black family and how, at the very least, its history here in the 20th and 21st century shows some, if not all, of the causes of the disintegration of children's rights.
This is such a sad story. Right now, only 13% of black kids will make it to their high school graduation, living only with their married mother and father. 87% of our black kids are going to experience some level of loss or instability in their home life. Many of them won't know their father at all. And that is not a denunciation on the character of blacks or their ability to commit to one another. It's not. There was a time early in the previous century where black women married at higher rates than white women. The black family was one of the strongest institutions within the black community for centuries. And yet now we are in this place where 71% of black kids begin their life with a single mom, not in a married mother-father home. And so statistically, what's going on is we are starving our black children of the essential ingredients they need to thrive. And then we scratch our head and wonder why they struggle in school, why they're disproportionately pulled into criminal behavior, why black girls tend to become teen moms more frequently. And it's because these kids, like every other kid on the planet, needs their mom and father, raising them together and the stability of a married home. And only a fraction of our black kids are getting that.
You say that we will never achieve any level of social justice until we secure justice for children. What do you mean by that?
Simply that all of these other efforts that we're making to address the social crises in our country fundamentally are just billion-dollar Band-Aids over a gaping wound. You can spend as much money as you want. You can generate new government programs and new federal administrations over the top of it. But ultimately, if you are not providing kids with the social emotional staples of their diet, and there's three of them, mother's love, father's love, and stability. If you're not doing that, then ultimately, no amount of government program is going to be able to fix it. And so we have to get back to fortifying the institution, the one institution, the family, that irreplaceably offers kids something that no government agency, no other big brother, big sister program is going to be able to step in for. So we have to get serious about children's rights to their mother and father and uniting those two people together in lifelong union.
How have academia, media, business, and really all levels of government sided with adults against the rights of children?
Well, when I started working on marriage and family issues, what I started to notice is that anytime there was a news article or a movie or a series or even a lot of the pushes that we've seen, legal pushes for same-sex marriage, for example, all of them obsessively focus on the desires of adults. That is always the central story, the central aspect of the narrative. It's what adults want. And the kids, well, they're just window dressing a lot of the time. If those articles or those movies or those movements mention kids, it's only to say that kids are happy when the adults are happy, right? It doesn't matter whether or not the parents are divorced or one parent comes out and leaves the marriage, or if they're denied a mother and father because an infertile couple is choosing to use a sperm donor, right? The central focus is always on the desires of adults to the complete disregard of the rights and needs of the children. So what we're trying to do at Them Before Us is refocus the debate and say all of these conversations about anything that has to do with marriage and family must begin with the rights of the child. And amazingly, when you do that, you come to the right personal decisions and policy decisions every time.
So what is the most basic right of a child?
I would say the most basic right for a human is the right to life, right? On top of that, every other right is based. But we also have a fundamental right. Really, the only person that we have a right to is not, we don't have a right to marry. We don't even have a right to a child, unless it's a child biologically born to us. The only right to another person that we have is a child's natural right to both people responsible for their existence. And amazingly, if we acknowledge that, like I said, we are going to resolve so many of the social issues we're facing today, and we're going to mend the hearts and protect the hearts of individual children as well.
Why does the protection of children's rights begin, as you have said, with the natural family, with a married father and mother with their children?
Because, so that relationship, the mom and the dad committed to one another, that is the only adult relationship that guarantees that children are going to have daily access to both people to whom they have a natural right. So we have to begin with that. And we spend some time in chapter 4 talking about marriage and why marriage is a social justice issue for kids. And so I think you and I are going to talk about that in future interviews. But right now, we have to drill it into our heads that sometimes kids lose a relationship with their mother or father through tragedy. But these days, most of the time, the kids who are not in relationship with their mom or dad, it's because some adult in their life has intentionally decided that they should not have a relationship with their mother or father. Some adult has prioritized their own desires over that child's right to be known and loved by both mother and father. And that is something that we as Christians, and we certainly as conservatives, need to get really serious about, that the rights of children must supersede whatever longing or struggle or sadness or desire that we have as adults. Just like in the right to life debate, we can empathize with, we must empathize with, we must bear the burdens of women who are struggling in unplanned pregnancy. But no amount of adult struggle justifies violating that child's right to life. The same is true in matters of family, that children have this right to both their mother and father. And adults, whether we struggle with infertility, whether we've got a challenging marriage situation, whether we experience same-sex attraction, whether we're single and we have not yet found Mr. or Mrs. Right, our desires for a child or our desires within that relationship do not justify forcing the child to sacrifice so we can have what we want. In this world of them before us, adults need to do hard things. All adults need to do hard things so the rights of children are protected.
Katie Faust is our guest of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us. We're beginning a series with her on the need for a global children's rights movement. On the other side, what does a father do that a mother can't, and vice versa?
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
I believe the children are our future. them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're getting a series on the need for a global children's rights movement with Katie Faust of Them Before Us. Katie, what can a father do that a mother can't, and vice versa?
Yes. So gender is not a social construct. It's this really beautiful biological phenomenon. And you see that most clearly in the married home, right, where you've got a mother and a father. So mothers tend to be better at soothing their kids. They tend to be focused on equity. Like, did everybody get the same amount of pie? They tend to be better at the what we call mundane caregiving, like brushing your teeth, eating your vegetables, going to bed on time. Moms are awesome at caregiving, which is incredible because kids really need a lot of it, especially when they're young. Dads tend to focus on pushing kids to their limits, right? They teach kids how to channel that natural competitiveness and aggressiveness, especially in boys, into really healthy ways. They tend to play more physically with their kids. They tend to be a little more adventurous with kids. And so it teaches kids to safely push the boundaries. And so what you get is these incredible, distinct, but complementary gifts that mothers and fathers bring to children. And when you get both of them daily, it maximizes child development.
What's wrong with the idea that children just need to be safe and loved?
Well, that has kind of become the talking point for those who want to challenge this idea that children have a right to their mother and father. They say, well, kids don't need a mom and dad. They just need to be safe and loved. But statistically, if you're serious about kids being safe and loved, then you're a supporter of married mothers and fathers raising their children together, because we have been studying family structure for decades. And we know that the place where kids are most likely to be safe and loved is in the home of their married mother and father. Now, there are exceptions where sometimes a biological parent could be abusive or detrimental. There could be a married mother-father situation that is detrimental to the child. But statistically, there's no other family structure that is going to do better than married mother-father family. So if we really are serious about kids being safe and loved, every single one of us is going to be defender of children's rights.
What is the Cinderella effect?
So unfortunately, it's exactly what it sounds like. Sociologists have been studying family structure and have observed that non-biologically related parents or caregivers do not treat kids the same as they would their biological children. Unfortunately, we have a mountain of data on this. It's indisputable that non-biologically connected adults are more dangerous to children. They're less connected. They're less invested in children's lives. And that's why we see diminished outcomes for any household structure that includes a non-biologically related parent. The most dangerous place for a child to find himself in America is in the home of mother's boyfriend, right? A man who's living in the home full-time or part-time with the child, who's not the biological dad. That person is statistically the most dangerous person in a child's life, because it takes more than just being in a romantic relationship with the child's parent to treat that child as a son or daughter. So the Cinderella effect just simply describes that stepmothers, stepfathers, live-in boyfriends, live-in girlfriends do not increase child thriving. In fact, sometimes it can really pose a threat to kids.
Why can a step-parent, as loving and responsible as that step-parent may be, never completely substitute for the biological parent then?
So I know heroic step-parents, right? I know that there are step-parents out there who are filling in the gap for biological parents who have failed their kids. And we should and we must acknowledge their presence and their existence. But even these heroic step-parents cannot offer to kids something that they crave, and that's biological identity. I've got good friends who are married to wonderful step-parents. But as those kids get older, a lot of them say, so where's my real dad? What was he like? Tell me about him. And some of them turn 18 and then they want to reach out because there's something about the person who gave you life and knowing what they're like and seeing yourself in their features. And so we can say, look, in some difficult situations, step-parents are coming in and really standing in the gap. But those step-parents can never fully compensate for what the child has lost.
So how does every alternative, no matter how well-intentioned or even good, as in the case of, say, adoption, how does every alternative to the married father and mother with children ultimately imperil children's rights?
So I think that in the future we will talk about adoption because it really is distinct from some of these desire-based children's losses. I'll just focus right now on the aspect of your question about sort of alternative family structures, that all of them, in fact, you know, I often say, whenever you hear the term modern family, that's really just code for child loss, right? If you're going to have a modern family, it means the child had to lose something to be in that family with you, that their mother or father is going to be absent from their life all of the time or part of the time. And as I said before, there are times where tragedy strikes and the child's not able to be raised by or to know their mom or dad. But in this alternative family world where we are pushing alternative family structures, where we're promoting same-sex headed households, where we're endorsing reproductive technologies that intentionally deny children a relationship with their mother or father, the child has to lose something to be in that home, and that is an injustice.
How does the idea, which is now sadly very popular, that gender itself is a social construct, how does it threaten children's rights?
Well, when we diminish the distinctiveness of mothers and fathers, and just say parents are what matters and kids need caregivers or loving parents and it doesn't matter whether they're men or women. Well, it sets the stage for diminishing the importance of a biological connection and really saying that whoever can acquire a child, they should be able to raise that child. And we spend some time in chapter 4 kind of talking about this move towards intent-based parenthood, that if you intend to parent a child, then that means you're qualified to be the parent of that child. But the reality is that gender matters, right? Biology matters and gender matters in parenting. And this push to minimize the distinctiveness of mothers and fathers is just a stop on that road to say children don't have a claim to their own parents. They don't have a right to their own parents. Rather, an adult who wants that child should be able to have that child, regardless of a biological connection and regardless of whether or not the child will have their need for a mother and father met. That idea that gender is a social construct is being used to justify a lot of the push towards alternative families. And ultimately, it's kids who are going to pay the price for that because we know the stories and we've captured the stories in our book of kids who were denied a relationship with their mother and struggled with incredible mother hunger, or who were had their father cut out of their life because they were created through a sperm donor and raised by two loving women. And they said, I desperately wanted a father, even though I was raised by two loving women. Children crave maternal love and paternal love. And our laws are either going to recognize that craving and that right, or we're going to ignore it, and the kids will just have to suffer in silence.
Finally, Katie, what is the danger of replacing these very specific terms, mother and father, with merely parent?
Yeah. Well, it's the idea that mothers and fathers don't have anything distinct to offer kids is developmentally a lie. And certainly it sets the stage for so many of the legal challenges that we are seeing state by state by state. One of the ongoing gifts of the decision to legalize gay marriage is that now simply promoting the idea that kids should have a mother and father is considered discriminatory. And so we're watching various states scrub the words mother and father from many of their parenthood laws. And so we just have got to cling to the idea that gender actually matters for kids because it does matter to kids. My strategy on proving that is by sharing the stories of kids who were denied their mother or father through reproductive technologies or through a no-fault divorce situation or through a single mother by choice, and really say, look at this kid, look at their life, look at their longings, look at their outcomes. How did that work for them? We need to stand on the rights of children. Those rights say that children have a fundamental right to be known and loved by both their father and their mother, and that they suffer when they don't have it, and that they are set up for increased risk and diminished outcomes when they don't have it. And that's an injustice, that we need to be defending children's rights. And if we do, we actually have a shot at mending our society.
Katie Faust is founder and director of the children's rights organization Them Before Us, and author of a forthcoming book also called Them Before Us. You'll find a link to this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Next week, we'll talk with Katie about why marriage matters. Katie, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
On the subject of children, Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Faith Lutheran offers in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. Learn more at flsplano.org, flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School online and in Plano, Texas. Dr. John Bombaro joins us on the other side of the break for a little conversation on the rituals that surround and embed Christian preaching. Some of them have been here for, well, more than 1,000 years. Some of them, which have been with us so long, have disappeared. What do we lose when we lose those preaching rituals?
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with Majoring in the Minors, The Blood of the Righteous, Lament for a Doomed City, Don't Be Fooled, and The Mission That Goes Beyond the Apostles' Death. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.